this week is entitled The Gift of Our Future, and the scripture reading is 1 John 3, 1-2. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us today. It's nice to see everybody saying good morning to one another and hugging each other, because a church that hugs each other all get colds and flus together. So there you go. So since the new year, we've been talking about gifts, the gifts given freely and receiving, being received with thanksgiving is a wonderful gift. To give gifts, to receive gifts is a wonderful gift. And we've noticed throughout Scripture, since January, the multiple gifts God continually gives us. The gift of God himself, the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of righteousness, the gift of justification, sanctification, and gifts and gifts and gifts and gifts. It's ongoing. And I was thinking about a passage when Paul was writing to a church dealing with unity. He said this, "Now to him who is able to give," now listen to this, "immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is now at work in us. To him be glory in the church and all throughout the world." It's a magnificent passage of scripture. "Now to him who is able to give you immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine." So it's God reminding us over and over again that the gifts are not limited, that they continually are poured out into our lives. Today, I want to just do something that I have done on occasion. And if you grew up in a certain way believing this fact, that when you die, you go to be with God, and then you wait, and the eternal consummation is heaven. And then you live in heaven with God forever and forever. And we talked a little bit about that, and that's basically how it's been taught over the years. But in the recent years, there's been a lot of newer understanding and a lot of newer teaching about this. And many of us have talked about this and thought about this, that really heaven wasn't a place that too many of us were really excited about. If the fact is that you just kind of hang around and sit on a cloud and play the harp or something, you know, it just wasn't exciting. And I remember as hearing a sermon like that when I was a child, and I went to the preacher afterwards, this is not an exaggeration, and said, "If there isn't floor hockey in heaven, I'm not going. I don't want to be sitting around all the time." And yet the Bible talks about the concept of that heaven is a place where God is, but that's not where we're ultimately going to be forever and ever. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth. So maybe we stop the tape that wants to continue to play in our hearts as we talk about the gifts. And one of the great gifts from God to us is he tells us our future. We say we don't know our future, but in God, we do know our future. He's very clear in Scripture, Old Testament and New, we can know our future in God, in Christ, and in the Spirit. That God's intent has always been from the beginning to create a new heaven and a new earth. And maybe we get rid of that second "and," that God wants to create a new heaven, earth, where heaven and earth become one. And that each one of us become the individual that God created us to be. Does that sound confusing? And yet the scripture reiterates it over and over again. In Ephesians 1, in verse 10, it says that Christ is bringing all things together, things in heaven and things on earth. And then in Colossians chapter 1, that God is reconciling, now get this, God is reconciling all things in Christ Jesus. He's making all things right. the way it was intended. So we go right back to the very beginning, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but in the first chapter, God creates. And then he creates this beautiful land, this beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden, where we can live forever and ever, and things go wrong. And so that Garden of Eden is kind of hidden. But if you go to the last chapter of the last book written in the Bible, Revelation 22, Eden is restored. It is the marriage of heaven and earth coming together as one. So we're going to read just a multitude of scriptures today. I think most of them will be on PowerPoint unless I kind of get off on my own. And you may just want to, if you've got a pen or something, you may want to jot them down. I have the scriptures. Again, these are fairly familiar in the sense of that we preach this on occasion over and over and over again because we have a tendency, at least I do, to often want to go back into a comfort zone where I was raised, but doesn't necessarily give the hope of the gift of our future. We're talking about gifts, and one of the great gifts that God gives us is we know our future. He gives us the gift of knowing our future. And so way back in Isaiah, some almost 800 years before Christ came on the scene, Isaiah gets this vision. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. He says, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." And then in the next chapter, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22, Isaiah says again, "As the new heavens and the new earth that I will make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure." And then Peter talks about this at great length. And I love what Peter does. He kind of lays the whole scene out. We're not going to read everything that he says. But basically, Peter says, we can know the gift of the future. That the earth is going to be changed. The heaven is going to be changed. That there's going to be coming together as one. In fact, it says, the heavens will disappear with a roar. And the earth will be laid bare. And then he creates something new. What is it? Our future. A new heaven and a new earth. He says this, 2 Peter 3 and 13, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." And then in Acts chapter 3, Peter talks about this again. In Acts chapter 3, Peter says, "So we need to repent and turn to God so that our sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." That's what he's talking about. "Heaven must receive him," now catch this, "until the time comes for God to," what? "Restore," what? "Everything." The Messiah will be with God until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through the holy prophets. And then Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8 in verse 11. And we've talked a little bit about this. One of the great gifts of God is our resurrection. And he talks about the resurrection of Christ and talks about our resurrection. And so Paul says, "And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in us." So we just stop here for a moment. So we believe with all of our heart that when we are Christians, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And that's true, except I think sometimes that gives the idea that until we become a Christian, that God doesn't really live with us, or that Jesus doesn't really even, you know, reside in us, or the Holy Spirit is kept a distance from us because somehow we're too unholy. But that's not what Scripture teaches. That everything about us, God knew before we were born. And like us, who've had our babies, we don't ignore them. We're pouring our hearts out to them. He's talking about this special relationship that we can have with God. God's always had a relationship with us. Jesus has always had a relationship with us. The Holy Spirit has always had a relationship with us. And meanwhile, gifts are pouring out into our lives. But it hasn't necessarily been reciprocated by us. So he talks about this relationship that we have with God, that God is always calling us to himself through Christ, and the Holy Spirit is always nudging, always whispering to us that you're not alone, that you're welcome to come to me. So he says, if this Holy Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Meaning that when we die, we go to be with God. But when God renews all things, we're part of that. And we receive a new body. Now, this is where all the jokes can start. What's that body going to look like? I hope I come in, 20 pounds lighter and on, 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 on. But what he's trying to suggest to us is that we're not floating around in some kind of mystical land where, it's ethereal and it's not. He's talking about flesh and blood. He talks about the Garden of Eden being restored, which probably is symbolism for a new heaven earth. It's this concept of God is creating something in us that's going to last and last and last, even with our bodies. We're not going to be floating around. That he's giving us something new, something beautiful, something concrete, something we can feel and touch, and that the gifts God gives us are manifested in a beautiful way. I don't know about you. Yesterday, Barb and I did a wedding, and actually are in the church office. It was a really small wedding, obviously, and we talked about it, and one of the things that we read was from the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, and peace, and patience, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. It seems to me that what Scripture seems to be teaching is all of those things. It's kind of a joke in the wedding where he said, I have to do all of those things? I have to be like that? Who can ever be like that? And I said, yeah, I know. But it seems that because of God's Holy Spirit living in us, we are inclined to live that way. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And then eventually when the new heavens and the new earth come, it is part of who we are. We're not going to have to wrestle anymore with these things. That God pours them out into our lives. So as God gives us gifts, can you help me, remind me that what he's saying is, I'm not just giving you a gift for now and it's going to disappear. But I'm giving you gifts that will last forever and forever and forever and forever. And I need to hear that about 1,000 billion times to somehow get it in that God is constantly changing us, renewing us, restoring us, reconciling us as even part of our future. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, Paul says, Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we are growing inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, the redemption of our what? The redemption of our, say it loud. Can we say it one more time? The redemption of our what? Who's ever taught this? Well, Paul did a long time ago. Jesus always talked about this. It's the redemption, not just of our brain or our spirit, but it's the redemption of our bodies. That this marriage of heaven and earth is not some dreamlike state. It's not floating around in a cloud, but it's real, concrete life that we will receive. So it's interesting. Someone might say, well, did Jesus ever say anything about this? Yeah, he did. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the what? Renewal of what? All things. At the renewal of all things. When the Son of Man sits on his throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, meaning that not only are we renewed, but God gives us power. God gives us authority. God gives us the joy that we will receive. And then lastly, toward the last book, where many people for years have read Revelation as completely apocalyptic and frightening, and it's just symbolism, it doesn't really count. And there is symbolism, a lot of symbolism in Revelation, as in many parts of Old Testament books as well. He gives us this concept, this beautiful view. And as I read this, and you can read it, see if you can picture yourself and your loved ones as we read this. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away. What? Where did heaven go? It passed away. Heaven passed away? It passed away. Heaven passed away. So when someone dies here, where do we go? Well, we go to be with the Lord. We're in heaven. But one day, heaven's going to pass away. And earth is going to pass away. But it's good news, because something new comes. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there is no longer any sea. And don't be afraid by that, especially if you love the water. That sea is where many writings of Israel will teach this. The sea was where the monsters lived. It was a place where we don't want to be near the angry seas. And so John is saying, especially if he's on the Isle of Patmos, surrounded by the sea, where he's saying all those monstrous feelings, they're gone. They're gone. And then he said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, not going up to God, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now where? Among the people. How many of us thought our dwelling place is up there? And he's telling us that one day, everything will be restored. God has come to dwell among us, dwelling with them, he says, dwelling among us. Can we somehow picture this? What will it look like? What will we look like? But won't it be cool that God is with us, walking around in this new creation, this new heaven, this new earth, where all of those things in our life have been holding us back, where they're gone, and that these gifts that we've been talking about are now dwelling within us. So before I read further, and we're almost finished, I go back to what Paul says in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to give us immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that now works in us, to him be glory in the church. This is something that we can share, that we can know, that we can enjoy, and that we can teach to others. And so he says in verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So I don't know if you caught the reading or not this morning that Julie read to us. Based on everything that we've talked about this morning, would you notice 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2? It says this, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. He tells us, but what will we actually look like? It has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. You can't see them, but I have goosebumps. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and he sees us as we are. So, in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city. And then the last scripture, Revelation 22 and verse 19, it says this, and if anyone takes away, if anyone takes words away from the scroll of the prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. So he gives these gifts. He gives us these gifts. One of the great gifts God gives us is himself, is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, and everything else. Now to him who is able to give us immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. It's God pouring himself out into our lives. But for us to push those gifts away, we always have the right to say no. No. So maybe that's what he's talking about, the tree of life. Here you are. Here you are, Donnie. Here it is. Here it is because of Jesus. Here it is. This is my gift to you. Can you imagine any of us getting a glimpse of it and saying no? It goes against what I was taught. No. But really, it's God saying, come on. Come on. And it's never come to me and then I'll go with you. It's always been, I've been a step ahead of you, always helping you to come along, come along, come along, come along. And I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. To me, it's so amazing how the scripture is written that from the beginning, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And toward the end, he says, oh, by the way, don't be discouraged. I will create all things new. The marriage, the reconciliation of heaven and earth together. So in Romans chapter 8, which we're not going to read at all today, based on everything that we have just read, and we often read Romans chapter 8, helping us to understand many of the gifts God gives us, and we often read Romans chapter 8, the latter part, at someone's death, at someone's funeral. And I guess that makes sense. As long as that when we read this, we're understanding that we're not just going to be floating around, that something new is going to be taking place. And so in Romans chapter 8, based on everything that Paul has said, and we used a lot of Paul's writings today, here's what he says. And I'm just going to pick this up in verse 31. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And we could go all the way back, which talks about everything we've talked about today, but I'm just going to begin in verse 31. He says, based on everything that he's already said, which is amazing, what then shall we say in response to all of these things? Stop. So what you've heard today and what I've heard today, what are we going to do with this? I mean, what are we going to do with this? It's something to think about, dwell upon. For me, it's changed my life. To me, I'm not afraid of the future. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of anything in regards to what's going to happen. We know what God's going to do. So what do we do with this? I think we share it. I think we share it. I think we believe it. I think it's a gift. In other words, if you've been with us in this series, this little girl goes up to this man who was speaking and said, I really like what you said. I've made a gift for you. And in my story, what did that preacher man say to that little girl? No. I can't take that gift. He was trying to be nice. No, I can't take that gift. It's too beautiful. You take that home. And the look of disappointment on her face was overwhelming. She gave a gift that she made with her own hands to this man because she wanted to say thank you. And she believed when he said no, that not only was he saying no to the gift, she believed he was saying no to her. When God gives us these gifts, do we say, not me, I'm not worthy? And do we see God frown? Because if you're not accepting my gift, you're not accepting me. Giving my gift is me. It's part of me. I created you. I'm pouring out my gifts. If you say no to my gifts, you're saying no to me. And that's when we repent and we say, then bring them on. Bring them on. I apologize. Bring them on. I want these gifts so I can share these gifts to one another. So he says, so what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? I know who. This guy right here. Do you ever feel that way? I know who's against me. Somehow, I just say no. When all along he's saying, say yes. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us, oh, I'm lost. What does it say? Graciously give us what? All things. All things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies, the gift of justification. Who can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? No. Hardship? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Danger? No. As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but no, we're not. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present, the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he says, even before Christ was born, God says, say this to the people. See, I am creating all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. And I will come and be with you, and I will dwell among all the people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for challenging us. We thank you for reminding us that your scripture contains new truths that maybe we haven't looked quite far enough to find. But more importantly, that we just move closer to you as you've always been close to us. We thank you for life. We thank you for the life that comes. We thank you for being with us, and we look forward to the new heaven and the new earth as you dwell among us. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.